So a really warm welcome, a warm welcome to everybody. And what a delight it is to be here with a happy hour. And I want to talk about what I talked about just on Tuesday. And this is a little bit more this idea of happiness. This is called Happy Hour. And we spent more time on metta and compassion. And I want to spend a little more time on happiness or happy. But before I jump right in there, there is absolutely no obligation that you have to feel happy. It's appropriate to have a range of emotions. It's appropriate to have grief when things happen. I don't want to sit here and think like, oh, you should be happy. And if you're not happy, then something's wrong or something. I don't know. I don't want it to be oppressive, let's say that, this idea of happiness. But I want it to be supportive. I want it to sometimes, and certainly like in the Buddhist teachings is, you know, for those of you who are familiar with that, you know, the first noble truth, there is suffering. And for many of us, that was like so meaningful just to, you know, say that out loud, like, yes, there is suffering. Finally, somebody's talking about it. And then there's this way to work with it. And so with all that as kind of like a preface or a preamble, I want to also talk about happiness. And in the context of Happy Hour, we talk about happiness as one of the Brahma Viharas. That is, that our being happy when other people are happy, like being just allowing our hearts to take in some of the joyful, cute, endearing, happy things that we might experience, come across, and just allow ourselves to feel it, to feel the how charming it is. And last time I talked about this colleague that I don't interact with that often, but who said, oh, we had a baby. And then just like an hour ago, as it happened, sent me another picture of the baby, and I just couldn't help it. I was like smiling at this little baby. You know, it was kind of funny. And then I just thought, yeah, this feeling, just allowing to feel the delight and of these new parents, you know, they're so delighted, and just allow that happiness to be there. And I'm using this word happiness in a really broad, vague way so that we can all find our way with it. So maybe it's a little bit of delight. Maybe it's a little bit of gladness. Maybe a little bit of joy. Maybe you don't even know what the difference between those words are. That's perfectly fine too. Like for you, they're all kind of just the same. And also, of course, I'm not just pointing to pleasure just for the sake of pleasure. I'm talking about some mental states that have an uplifting quality to them. There's lots of reasons why we could talk about why it would be helpful to allow ourselves to feel happy, to allow ourselves to notice when it just naturally arises, to really pay attention to it. But one thing that I'd like to highlight and just say a few words about is part of what can be powerful about mudita practice, about sympathetic joy practice, which I will lead us through, is that we start to learn a little bit about ourselves and our relationship to happiness. It might be that we haven't really examined or even looked at our relationship to happiness. That is, there might be these little quiet voices in the back of the head that says something, I don't really deserve to be happy because I did that thing and I didn't do that other thing and, you know, all that other stuff. Or there might be a little voice that says, I don't want to be happy now because when it goes away, that's too painful. Or I don't want to feel this sense of well-being now because it reminds me of all the times when I had the opposite of well-being. Or I don't want to be happy for some of these people, because really they just are deluded and they don't know that everything's impermanent and they really shouldn't be happy. Or I'm just making these up, but there might be some quiet little voices in the back of our head that we don't even notice, that is kind of like putting a damper on sense of well-being or happiness. So I'm not saying that we should be giddy, and I'm not saying that we should be unwise, that not take pleasure out of things that are unwholesome, that cause any harm to ourselves or to others. But just when we do mudita practice and we're talking about happiness, it's just an opportunity to notice. And part of the reason why I'm saying this is I'll say that there was a time on some long retreats where there was just a lot of well-being happening. And it felt kind of weird for me, a little uncomfortable. Like, I know how to do the suffering thing. I know how to, what I'm supposed to do with it, be mindful and all that kind of stuff. But when there was a well-being, it felt a little unfamiliar in a way that I was kind of surprised of my reaction to it. So I just want to offer that our society often doesn't promote, just feel content, feel happy without acquiring stuff. Just feel okay. You saw a picture of somebody's baby and it just made you happy. Okay, so with that, let's do some meditation practice. So taking a posture that reflects our intention to meditate. Many people that'll be like sitting upright, but maybe your body doesn't support that right now. That's perfectly fine. And just arriving in this moment and feeling connected and connected to the body, connected to whatever the body is being supported by. And to sit and know you're sitting. And to tune in to notice the sensations of breathing in a relaxed, easy way, but also with some intention. Just noticing what it feels like to breathe at this moment. When the mind wanders, just very simply, gently begin again. You don't have to make it a problem. And then we can do some loving kindness practice. Just allowing the heart and mind to connect with some warm-heartedness. So bring into mind a lovable being. Someone with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. And allow yourself to connect with this individual, or maybe puppies, kittens, babies. You might visualize them. Or maybe you have a connection that feels a little bit more in the body. Not so much that you visualize them, but you have an experience in your body in some kind of way when you bring this lovable being to mind. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, sometimes it's helpful to give the mind something to do. And it can also be helpful to have a certain rhythm that one can let go into. It's kind of how mantras often work, is the rhythm. So we can say these phrases to support our cultivating loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. allowing ourselves to feel the appreciation, care, respect that we might have for this lovable being. And then to start our sympathetic joy mudita practice. That when we have this warm-heartedness, sometimes it just grows or takes on a little bit of a different quality when we imagine or we know that this lovable being has something, some happiness, something good in their life. It could be something very simple, like satisfying meal. It could be something big. A success in a big endeavor. Or a family member marrying somebody that you think is just a great partner for them. Or receiving really good news from the doctors. Whatever it might be, allowing this love and care to be colored, be influenced by this sense of happiness also. Sometimes just being able to take a nap and waking up from the nap saying, oh, I feel better. Something like this. And then to support this loving kindness, mudita, sympathetic joy, vicarious happiness, we can say this phrase. May your happiness and good fortune continue. Of course, we want them to be happy and not for it to end. May your happiness and good fortune continue. Receiving a birthday cake. Making a birthday cake for somebody. Giving a gift. Receiving a gift. Our lovable being surely has had some of these experiences. May your happiness and good fortune continue. May your happiness and good fortune continue. Our vicarious happiness might notice that it sometimes feels a little more energetic, and maybe sometimes it's a little more quiet and smooth. Maybe you're not feeling anything in particular right now. That's okay too. Can still incline the mind and heart towards appreciating when happy events occur for others. Can we expand our mudita, sympathetic joy, vicarious happiness? Can we be happy even for people that we don't know? Maybe there's a house in the neighborhood that has balloons because it's somebody's birthday. Maybe there's in the neighborhood a couple going for a walk together, and it looks like they're enjoying their conversation. Maybe we stumbled upon something in Pinterest, or somebody has a delight in something that's maybe not our cup of tea, but they clearly have an appreciation and love of it. May your happiness and good fortune continue. And we can notice if there are any of these little quiet voices, some that's talking to us about happiness. perfectly fine, whatever they are saying. Can we allow them in? Don't want to shun them or try to repress them. Welcome them in. Maybe just allowing them to be there and to feel the warmth of your care. And then bringing the mind to the happinesses of others, whomever. Maybe you know somebody that's having some happiness right now. May your happiness and good fortune continue. May your happiness and good fortune continue. We can feel into the body, allowing any sense of well-being or warmth or openness or happiness, allowing that to perhaps move around the body in some kind of way. In a way of like filling up the body. May your happiness and good fortune continue. May your happiness and good fortune continue. And then to end this meditation, feeling your feet on the ground, feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. This idea of being happy when other people are happy. Just statistically, in some ways it makes sense, but if we're, you know, we can be happy when this condition and then this other condition and this other condition with all these other people's life circumstances come together that they're feeling happy. There's just more opportunities for us to feel happy too. It's kind of a cold-hearted way. Just look at the math of it. But it is one way, maybe we could turn this around and say, there are actually really many reasons to be happy, as well as there's tremendous difficulty and suffering. I am by no means saying there isn't oppression and injustice. I just don't want us to think that that's the only thing that's happening. And unfortunately, right, some people have a tremendous amount of that. It's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. And I want us to be able to notice when there are some things that bring a certain sense of well-being or contentment or happiness or joy happens for us to really feel it and to recognize that we can be happy when others are happy. And to also maybe just to be curious about what our relationship is to happiness. Are we open to it? Are we a little bit suspicious about it? Or we think like, well, I really shouldn't because all these other things are wrong. We feel like we're being disloyal to all the suffering in the world or whatever it might be. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you'll have an opportunity to talk about this idea. And maybe could discuss about your relationship to happiness. Does it come easy for you and you're happy to do it to, you know, whenever you experience it, it's completely unproblematic and you're not even sure what Diana's talking about. Or you realize, oh yeah, it's a little complicated. Maybe it's helpful to bring our attention to this. So rather than one person just doing a really long monologue and then everybody else at the end just saying a little bit, it can be helpful just to say like one point and then let it go to the next person and then say one point and then it goes to the next person and then goes to the next person. Some of these will be groups of three and some will be groups of four. And how about for 12 minutes, you have a chance to talk about maybe your relationship to happiness or how that meditation practice was for you. Okay, here you go.
To tell your story?
Tell us all, Michael. Tell us all.
Oh, I had mudita hearing the others.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the ones that really enjoys the groups, and I don't bail. I know some people have aversion, but I find them really rich. And yesterday I was reminded about simplicity, which is one of my favorite Dharma components.
What
so deep
bows.
Simplicity, is that what it was, Michael?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, simplicity. Excellent. So I just have a few minutes here. Does anybody else have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share?
I just want to say I enjoy the small group so much. And I did with Marie Christine from Sydney. It was wonderful to compare notes and look at our happiness and how it comes. It was lovely. So thank you. Thank you for being here.
Nice. Thank you, Trudy. Yeah, right. It's can be really beautiful to connect with others. And I know both Marie Christine and Trudy, you guys have been coming for a while. So chances are you've known one another through these.
Yeah, we do.
Anybody else have a comment? I know, I see, Jerry, you have a thumbs up. Is that just a thumbs up, or is that a raising your hand? You'd like to ask a question, or it's...
myself. I guess I would say both a thumbs up and a comment that in a small group, I like the simplicity that's there, but I also... it's allowed me to appreciate this COVID. I wouldn't be here except for COVID and these sanghas, and it's really appreciated the sangha in a much larger way. I'm glad they're continuing after. And in terms of simplicity, it's made me appreciate my home more than I ever had. I was used to work elsewhere, but now my home and my neighbors have become more important and close proximity than I ever would have had over the bag. So COVID has brought the importance of simplicity, and this group has emphasized it. Mm. I'm very grateful.
Nice. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Mm-hmm. And Abraham, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah. I'm in a lot of groups, senior sangha, senior men's group, senior this, senior that. Hi, Trudy. And I had three very... in my mind, three very young people in my group, and it's just so refreshing to listen to a totally different perspective. I just loved it. So thank you to those individuals.
Yeah, right? With people from different backgrounds, different locations. That's so great, so great. Yes, thank you, Abraham, for saying that. Okay, so maybe we'll end with that. We have a few more seconds if anybody feels like they want to say something. Otherwise, okay. Okay, so I'll add my appreciation into the mix. And it's lovely to practice with you all. It really is. And maybe we'll unmute ourselves and say goodbye in an unruly way.
So. Bye!
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Diana.
And Michael. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That was a scream all the way from Australia.
Thank you, Linda.
I had to make sure you could hear me.
Thank you.
That was so
fun.
Thanks so much, Diana. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you to everyone.
Great to see you again.
Well done, Marie. Bye.
Thank you, Abraham.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.